May we help to commence our morning service by singing together hymn 238. Hymn 238, June Meriton, 366. With melting heart and weeping eye, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? How dreadful now my guilt appears, in childhood, youth, and growing years. Before thy pure deserting eye, Lord, what a filthy wretch am I. Does not thy sacred word proclaim salvation free in Jesus' name? To him I look and humbly cry, O save a wretch condemned to die. Hymn 238, June Meriton, 366.
Thank you. May the Lord help us now in reading from his holy word. In the Gospel according to John chapter 12. The Gospel according to John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and may he in mercy help and teach us to pray. O thou most gracious and ever merciful, long-suffering Lord God, thou who dwellest between the cherubims, O we do beseech thee, do shine forth, and do thou lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. O Lord, leave us not to ourselves, leave us not to walk alone, leave us not to walk in darkness. But oh, that thou mightest indeed grant the manifestation of thy word, that thou art the light of the world, and that, O Lord, that thou wilt bring us, and that we tremblingly plead, Lord, that thou wouldest grant tokens according to thy infinite knowledge, Lord, that thou hast brought. Lord, thou knowest where it is so. If thou hast indeed brought us out of nature's darkness into thy most marvellous light. O Lord, thou art in heaven. O then we pray, Lord, whatever our state or case, that thou bring us into thy marvellous light, and that we might be favoured to walk as we have been reading, as children of the light. O Lord, there is much darkness. Lord, thou knowest those who have been made to feel a little of it. The darkness within, and the darkness surrounding us without, in this present evil world. Oh, how we need thee, gracious God, to arise, thou dear Son of Righteousness. Oh, that thou wouldst arise and shed abroad in our poor hearts those beams of light and life. Oh, and that we might know that healing mercy. Oh, then may we be granted thy tender fear, and then that we might know the fulfillment of thy truth, thy word. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And O Lord, we pray that we might know more than that, according to thy word that declares, and thou shalt go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. O Lord, may there be that going forth of poor sinners, even to witness for thee and to acknowledge thee in all our ways. Oh, remember us then in thy mercy, gracious God. And we do pray that now, as thou hast brought us again into thine earthly courts on another Sabbath day, oh, that we might be favoured, Lord, to enter a little into the promised rest, according to thine own pattern given, that thou didst rest on the seventh day. And now, through the wondrous resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the first day, and we are bidden to rest. To seek, Lord, not just rest for our bodies and minds, but, oh Lord, may we have come once more to thy house, seeking rest for our souls. Oh Lord, thy invitation is so clear, so simple, and yet, Lord, how long we either slight or doubt thee. And we have to mourn and confess, alas, how true it is that till when all the means we've tried prove we cannot do without thee, then at last to him we cry, may we come unto thee, O Lord, and thou knowest, if we are weary and heavy laden, oh, that we might find thee, and that we may be favoured to find rest unto for our souls. Lord, remember us here as we are gathered in this house of God. Thou knowest, Lord, all things that concern thy cause here, thy people here. We do beseech thee, gracious God, that thou wouldst appear for them and unto them, and do, O Lord, grant those gracious encouragements. Lord, above all we pray that thou wilt bless thy word, and that thou wouldst feed the sheep and the lambs, that thou wouldst, Lord, gently lead those that are with young, and that thou, Lord, wouldst yet grant a building up, if it could please thee. Lord, thou knowest all that has taken place. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou in thy mercy wouldst yet grant that building up, and, Lord, that witness that thou art here, and that, Lord, this is thy house, and thou hast a people, and thou hast thy name that thou wilt preserve, Lord, that there may yet be those who shall indeed come, and that, Lord, there shall be that manifesting of thy work, that there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Oh Lord, may there be such work, Lord, known here, we beseech thee. And we pray, Lord, for one who has much of the responsibility in various ways for the continuing of the worship of God here, Lord. Do uphold him and strengthen him and encourage him, I pray thee. And that thou, Lord, wilt yet be pleased to favour those who also watch for thy cause here. Lord, thou seest the inner desires. Oh, may there be yet a rejoicing together for that which thou shalt be pleased to do. So we pray for our brother here and his dear one and each who have that concern for the cause of God in this house of God. We beg for thy merciful help and the unfolding of thy good pleasure, Lord. Oh, that's a precious word. We would plead it for thy people here and for thy people everywhere, for one's own little flock at home and for the Zion everywhere. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, Lord, oh, may it please thee yet to make manifest thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, Lord, for thy servant who goes forth from amongst thy people here. Be with him this day and bless thy word through him, and help him in all his concerns, and remember also his dear one in the path that these things mean. And Lord, remember each. We think also, Lord, of those who are not able to be here, and one in affliction, Lord. We pray that thou wilt remember her, and others, Lord, in affliction at this time. Thou knowest the things, Lord, that thou dost send and permit. Oh, may it be, Lord, all under thy divine overruling mercy. We do pray thee. Oh, bless the families, Lord. Do help the dear parents in the responsibility upon them, and especially as thy word exhorts to bring up the children in that right way. Oh Lord, what difficult days our lot is cast in. Oh, we pray then that thou bless the dear children and the young people, that thou, Lord, wouldst preserve them from the many dangers that surround them, those seen and those unseen. Lord, do thou be that wall of fire round about. But, O Lord, we pray above all that thou wouldst in thy sovereign mercy impart that good thing deep into their heart whilst they are young toward thee, the Lord God of Israel. Oh, then we do pray. Thou bless the dear children and the young people, and oh, that thou, Lord, wouldst grant that as spared, and the continuation of time that thou wilt be pleased to raise up yet a generation to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. We are all each hastening on, and O Lord, how we tremble, Lord. We tremble for Zion. Oh, then we do pray, O Lord, that thou bless the rising race, that thou wouldst, Lord, prepare from amongst them those who shall be pillars in thy own sovereign appointment in due time, and those whom thou shalt send forth in years to come upon the walls of Zion. O Lord, hear then our poor cries. Have mercy upon thy Zion, O God. Have mercy, we do pray. And so we ask thou strengthen the things that remain and those who do remain and those carrying the burdens of the present day. O Lord, thou knowest, they might be hidden, but they wrestle for the ark of God. We pray, Lord, thou wilt grant them much indicted prayer. For, Lord, thou hast promised that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. O Lord, we do pray, thou wilt grant that wrestling prayer for thy people and in them and for thy cause. Lord, look upon us, have mercy. So remember those then, Lord, with the heat and burden of the day. And Lord, do grant upholding from day to day. And thou knowest, Lord, those things that may be before any. But Lord, may it please thee yet make manifest that thou hast gone before. O Lord, do deliver us from those slavish fears. But do grant, Lord, that living faith to trust in thee, to go forth from day to day, to rest in the Lord, to wait patiently for thee. Oh, remember then thy dear people everywhere, and may this day be a day when thou shalt appear in the means of grace, as thou hast so many promises concerning the meet gathering together. But may it be above everything, Lord, that unto him, unto thee, Lord Jesus, shall the gathering of the people be, that there may be that which shall redound unto thine honour and for thy glory and for the good of never dying souls. Lord, look down then, we beseech thee, and bless the gatherings, even those twos and threes, this day. And help thy servants, Lord, we beseech. Oh, may thy word have free course and be glorified. And look down from heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Lord, we would not forget afflicted friends, and thou knowest those connected here and those known and connected with us. Lord, draw near, and we think perhaps more of, or at least we think of those not able get to thy house. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt visit them wherever they are, and comfort and favour them, Lord, with a little visit from thyself. But remember all our afflicted friends and those in old age. Lord, thou seest, and thou knowest, Lord, how true thy word is. The grasshopper shall become a burden. Lord, do thou in thy goodness and mercy sustain and comfort our dear aged ones. Lord, be with them, we beseech thee. And so, Lord, hear our poor cries. Remember afflicted ones in the midst of life, and some even in earlier years. Lord, there are those that we know, and we do pray thee, Lord, that thou in mercy wouldst appear, and put forth thy healing touch, and that thou wouldst yet, Lord, bring those even to testify, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Lord, thou canst do these things. Oh, grant us living faith to believe it. Here then in heaven thy dwelling place, do come now and help a poor sinner to venture with thy word. Lord, do help and do grant thy blessing above everything. Lord, oh, may thy word have free course and be glorified. Come now, Lord Jesus, bless the hymns this day. Lord, encourage a brother in this, I pray thee, and remember all whom we would and should pray for, as we desire to ask it all, with the pardon of our every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Brian Mercer will preach again this evening and also on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Robert Field was engaged to preach, but due to his forthcoming operation on Tuesday, will be unable to do so. At present, we have made no engagement. Next Lord's Day is also the day appointed for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship singing together hymn at 918, hymn 918, to the tune Jerusalem Luminosa 675. Hymn 918. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see. They are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. Stripped of all their fancied meetness, to approach the dread I am, they are led to see all fitness centering in the worthy Lamb, and adoring sing his Godhead, blood and name. Hymn at 918, tune at Jerusalem at Luminosa 675.
Much need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture this morning to direct your thoughts and attention to the word you will find in the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, and reading verse 1. The Gospel according to John, chapter 13, and verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. What a wonderful truth is declared here. And I'm sure there is no mistake that it sits, as it were, by the order of the Holy Spirit between the things of chapter 12, which I've read before you this morning, and the things that are recited, recounted by the Apostle John in chapter 13, and how there the scene unfolded in chapter 13 regarding the Lord Jesus with his beloved disciples, and the solemn truth also regarding the one who went out Judas, and it was night. Well, here the word of the Lord then, as it were, is set. And what a sacred truth it contains. And it is especially the latter part of the verse, which I trust the Lord laid upon my spirit yesterday morning, that Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We know that the Apostle John indeed was used of the Lord to speak, both in the Gospel of John and in the epistles, of the love of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how favoured he was himself to know, dear friends, that love of his dear Lord and Master, as we have the record in this last Supper that John was so close to the Lord Jesus, as we read in the 13th chapter. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So the words here, dear friends, were written and come from God through the pen of one who knew very much favour and knew the truth and the reality and the blessing of that love of his dear Lord and Saviour. So he writes with understanding and with wonderful experience. But I do feel perhaps that, as the Lord may help me, I'll just notice the setting of the word in that which is written, as the chapter opens with that word now. Now. And dear friends, how we need the Lord to come to us in our lives now. We need him to come to us, and we need him to do for us those things now. But what a mercy that with God, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. With God, all of time, we cannot really understand it with our natural finite mind. But all of time to God, who is so great, so wise, so omnipotent, and so great, all of time is, as one of the poets puts it, I think, one immortal now, or eternal now. The whole of time is but nothing to God. And so now, oh, that the Lord might be pleased to draw near now with us. Now, friends, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, what a time it was that the Lord Jesus, in his earthly pilgrimage with his dear disciples with him, had come to. The word is so set against this, the time the hour. Jesus had that before him. And as we read of it in the 12th chapter, how we have a glimpse of the sacred humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man, when he said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say?" Dear friend, does that find anyone? I do not know what things there are with you, but the Lord Jesus came to this place. What a thought. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say?" Oh, there are these times when we do not know what to say. But, oh friends, might the Lord encourage us and give us to see a little that he, though he is the infinitely wise God, and that this is a mystery in that sense, that he, as the Son of Man, in a nature like our own, but without sin, he came to this time when he cries out, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." And yet, always we have, what an example Jesus gave, always we have how he was so, well, I do not know what word to use, but would speak with reverence, he was so conscious at all times of his Holy Father's sovereign will. And so immediately he says, "But for this cause came I unto this hour." This hour. Well, this is gathered up in a way by those opening words in the next chapter, in the word before us. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And dear friend, what was before him, he knew. Oh, that suffering that he was to know and experience beyond any understanding. To know the hidings of his Holy Father's face, to bear the stroke of divine justice which should have been inflicted upon millions of the human race. And yet, in his everlasting love, he came to this hour to suffer and to bleed in the sinner's place. All this was so now imminent and before him. But in it all, you see, dear friends, what we have, I feel, the emphasis here is still. With all this that was before him, and he knew what it was going to mean to him, and we cannot begin to understand it, that it would be the sins of his dear people that would be the cause, as it were, of his suffering. In it to feel the stroke of justice, the punishment. We have the lines of one of those hymns that, not in our book, but what a line or two it is. "And out of pity, Jesus said, he'd bear the punishment instead of his dear people." But it was before him now, and the reality of it was so close. And yet, not for one moment did that love waver. Not for one moment did the love he bore, had borne, and did bear, and would bear, not for one moment did it waver. Jesus, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world through death. Through death. This was the part, this was the reality of it, that he knew that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end, without wavering. Not for one moment did his heart turn from them, in spite of all that he was bearing on their account. Oh, dear friends, what love. No wonder the poet, one of the poets, penned those lines, on such love. My soul, have you any hope in it? Do you desire to come in with it? On such love, my soul, still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free. I remember hearing the late Mr. Stanley Dell at Tenterden, and many years ago, he quoted those lines, and I was sitting at that time, as I did for a season, at the organ at the front at Tenterden, and it was just as though, and it wasn't the only time, it was just as though that case it was the lines of the hymn, and sometimes it was the word, it was just as though it was dropped over the side of the pulpit for this poor sinner. But yes, how that servant of God, he had that way of quoting scripture and the hymns, and they came so meaningfully. Oh, but can you go on, say, whilst lost, in holy wonder, why, oh Lord, such love to me? Oh friends, Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world. Now then, dear friends, here is a description of these people. It does not refer to them as good and holy people. It does not refer to those who have by their own demarcations separated themselves from others, but having loved his own which were in the world. In the world. And dear friends, there is, of course, there is the truth. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. But that must be, and can only be, the work of the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus pray for his own in that sacred prayer in John 17, and I have had to ponder it a number of times. I pray not, now friends, this is Jesus himself, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Yes, now if there is the evidence of the love in a poor sinner's heart, you know, friends, there will be the keeping power. Because Jesus, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And that will be to feel something and to know something of his love will indeed be a power to keep under the Holy Spirit's operations. Oh, to have a little token that the Lord has a favour towards such a poor, a wretched sinner. It will soften, it will touch the heart. It will make sin very grievous. It will bring the exercise of prayer to him. Oh, to be kept. And the desires that are kindled when the love of Christ is known. We love him. Some of the scriptures are so simple, and I feel at times they're easily said, easily read and spoken and heard, and yet how much do we really enter into the truth? We love him because he first loved us. Oh, dear friends, is that a concern that whether you love the Lord? Sometimes these things are brought, as it were, into focus. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? But I was thinking the other day, and I don't want to speak with controversy, but that hymn that John Newton penned, it contains the answers within that very hymn. I know that there has been one written, as it were, like an answer. But I was, for some reason, brought to read through hymn 283 the other day. And, dear friends, the answer is there. In that same hymn, though the first verse says, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? But as you go through it, dear friends, there are the answers. One verse that comes here before me, yet I mourn my stubborn will, find my sin a grief and thrall. Should I grieve for what I feel if I did not love at all? Friends, there's an evidence of love to him in that reality that you feel of your sin and the grief it is to him. Oh, do you mourn, thinking at times and realising, as the Lord made you feel it, your sins and my sins are a grief to him? Well, Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, they are then his own. And there is another deep and wonderful truth. Just two words. Sometimes, dear friends, there's so much, isn't there? As the Lord shows a little glimpse of it. Jesus, having loved his own. Oh, do we desire to know, not just that we love him, although I'm sure if we do love him, then we must be his own. We cannot truly love him, as John says in the epistle, and we touched on it in the reading at the prayer meeting. Yes. Oh, we cannot love him aright unless the Lord has a favour toward us. But his own. Oh, to know a little of that token that he has from all eternity. What a humbling thing it is, his own. When the Lord reveals a little of his dying love for his dear people, to make them realize that all this was done for you. All this was done for you. The names of his dear people are written in the book of life. He came, and their names are upon his heart as the high priest of his dear people. And he comes before an holy God and pleads for them, his own. Oh, friends, the sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to all his own. Oh, it is a deep, deep truth, and nothing can alter it. Nothing can alter it. Although there may be that wandering far in sin's dark maze, but the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose but call by grace. And friends, it will be in the Lord's time, there will be this as well, as the Lord says in this same gospel, for ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should bring forth fruit to his honour and for his glory. Jesus, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them. He loved them unto the end. Oh, dear friends, what love. So much greater and perfect love. 'Tis the only one whose love was perfect. The Lord Jesus' love for his people. Oh, the love to sinners. Oh, friends, and he loved them unto the end. And there are perhaps several ways in which that might be understood. He loved them unto the end. And first of all, it surely refers to, as I think I've hinted really, that to the end of the Saviour's work that he came to fulfil here below. He loved them unto the end, through Gethsemane, through the judgment hall, and upon the cross, until he cried, "It is finished." His love in that, as the Son of Man continued unto the end. Really, the truth is that it never did and never has altered. For he lay in the tomb, but thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And he rose again. He had power to lay down his life, and he had power to take it again. And so that love never has an end, but there is a sense in which, as he was their immediate Saviour, Master, Lord, his gracious concern for them never, as I've already said several times, it never wavered. Even when, for instance, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all forsook him and fled. And when Peter denied him, as one example, but he loved them unto the end. He continued pass through, to bear and to fulfill all that he had come to do. He loved them unto the end, and fulfilled that work that he had come to do. Our friends, how different from natural love Though natural love can be very strong at times, and yet it is often weak because of our sinful nature. But his love, but unto the end, and what a manifestation of this there is in his people's life and path. In the way that he calls his people to walk, Jesus, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And friends, so he loves each one of his dear people unto the end of their little journey here below. What a wonder. Oh, to feel a little touch of his love, it is not only for today, but it is unto the end and beyond the grave. But it is in our mortal body of flesh and blood and our sin-stained condition. He is faithful. He is that one who is ever watching over each one. And he has promised, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That was the word of the Saviour as he shortly ascended up into heaven. I am with you always. Oh, friend, how much we doubt and how much some of us have to mourn that our hearts become so overwhelmed. But dear friends, it's because of this love that you and I may come with the dear psalmist. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that one who loves, that one who shows mercy, that one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, having loved his own that were in the world. He loved them unto the end, even the ends of the earth. None can be too far. None can be, ever get beyond the limits of his love. So what a blessed truth is found here. And in such a situation that the Saviour was with his dear people. Oh, dear friends, he ever knows when to speak and how to speak. Not like us, can become lost for words. But the Lord Jesus ever knows just what to do, what to say, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. And how much more there is. He loved them unto the end. The Lord Jesus, we read in another place, I believe, he went to the end of the law for righteousness. And that, what that tells us is this, that the Lord Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle of God's holy law that God had given to man. And he went to the end of the law. Why? That he might fully justify every one of his dear people. So what love is there that everything the Lord Jesus Christ did and suffered and passed through here below Though he were a son, we read, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now what love there is there. The things that Jesus suffered here upon this earth for poor sinners. And he loved them unto the end of the law, so that he fully obeyed every jot and every tittle of God's law. Not because he needed any justification, but as he stood in the sinner's place. And he wrought out for them through that the perfect righteousness. He loved them unto the end, so that he might present them faultless before his throne with exceeding joy. He loved them unto the end. And dear friends, he ever lives, even now, to make intercession for his dear people. And he ever loves. There is that wonderful word in one of the minor prophets, and it says, he will rest in his love. Oh, friends, how little do we understand. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, without any intermission, without any distraction. His heart is upon them. His love is toward them. He will never leave them nor forsake them. His love. Well, a few poor thoughts upon this wonderful truth. Jesus, having loved his own, which were in the world. Oh, dear friends, he does not require them to be anything special. Does not require his dear people to fulfill the things that would, as it were, put themselves right. We have not that power. We prove that we cannot. We cannot make ourselves right. But we have need to depend upon that great love. That great love wherewith he has loved his dear people. Oh, it is great love. It is everlasting love. It is enduring love. And he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Having loved his own. Yes, he loved sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Pharisees couldn't understand it. Oh, friend, and can you understand? The poet says, why was I made to hear thy voice, his voice, and enter whilst there's room, whilst thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? His love, having loved his own, he continues to spread the gospel table. There is never any lack of supply. It is that which is just for them. Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And friends, when the Lord does that, why, your heart will love him. Your heart will go out to him for what he has given. Oh, these things, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Well, may the Lord bless his word. May, and pardon anything I've spoken amiss, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together. hymn 645, hymn 645 to the tune Chester 455. Dangerous is the path we go in this wilderness below. Savage beasts of every kind aiming to distress the mind. How then can they persevere? Must they of the prize despair? No, 'tis theirs to watch and pray, for the Lord will guard the way. Thus supported, we shall be more than conquerors, Lord, through Thee. And when every danger's past, live and reign with Thee at last. Hymn 645, tune Chester 455.
Thank you.
gracious Lord, do in thy mercy pardon and forgive all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss. But do grant, Lord, that thou wilt speak in and through thy word, that we might know that we are the subjects of thy gracious, precious love. Now do take us to our homes in peace and safety. Grant thy help, Lord, through the remainder of the day. Bring us here again at the evening hour, if thy will. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.